and welcome back to Starter Set. My name is still Ed Sylvester. This is still
Sam Bradley.
And welcome to the show that takes you in a different direction with the Dungeons and the Dragons.
Yes, this is a whole new board game, but it's not. It's still the same rules, but a brand new game.
Same rules, new day, new game. Right, so how do we get here, Sam?
Well, the Marvel... D&D by way of Marvel was underwhelming, to say the least.
Yes.
Not that it was bad, it was the 5 out of 10 is worse than a 1 out of 10.
Yeah, so... Obviously, it's been about a year.
Yeah.
We went away. You've had a child.
Yep.
I've moved. Not that that's really
to the left.
Not that that's really comparable, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
We were like, right, look, we've set out to do what we wanted to do, which was give somebody a decent enough introduction to most of the aspects that are within Dungeons and Dragons, and I think we did that with the show
that we had. Yes, we did. I believe we did.
And we said, luckily, we've got something coming out, so if you guys still want to listen to myself and Sam saying stuff about things that don't exist, it's coming! Brilliant!
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, our experience of the Marvel RPG that we intended to do, because Sam obviously knows Marvel inside out, not just the MCU, we're talking comics and all the other extra bits.
Ed knows rules, like he... Whoa, Ed knows rules.
I'm the rule boy, I tell you what to do!
Yep. Fell on his ass.
As you said, 5 out of 10. Just didn't get going, really. Yeah. And what we want to do is create content that we're excited about, because then that, you know, that comes across. You don't want to whip a dead horse. You don't want to be trying to just push something out for the sake of it.
Mm-hmm.
It might even say that we have some sort of artistic integrity. I don't know whether that's true.
I don't think that's true.
No, I don't really. Actually, now that I've said it, what a dick.
And I say that as I drink my Coca-Cola and eat my McDonald's.
Delicious Coca-Cola. So listen, we had that and then we went, what are we going to do next? We obviously want to continue bringing stuff and we like working together and doing these things.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked far and wide to the... Pyramids of Egypt.
Not pyramids.
What?
It's not pyramids, is it?
No.
It's not pyramids.
No,
it's fundamentally
no.
Not
right,
pyramids.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, setting up a pun.
Yeah.
Sorry, continue.
From the pyramids of Egypt to the tops of big mountains and the depths of Amazon.
Oh.
Which...
Brilliant.
...is where we bought these books from. Has nothing to do with the setting.
At Starter Set, we directly contribute to some of the evil in the world.
Yeah, we got Coke, we've got Mackie D's and Amazon all set up. We'll do something else about, I don't know, the metaverse in a minute. So listen.
Topical.
I know, tell me about it. What are we doing next? I know you're all crying out.
Mm.
Sam and Ed, tell us what you're doing next and stop talking about how we got here.
What's it called?
We are doing a duet-based RPG based on 5th edition rules.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Beowulf Age of Heroes. I'm sure we won't get struck off for copyright content on the Star
Wars.
There you go, it's all the same. So, Beowulf Age of Heroes.
Right?
Is this where I say Beowulf Age of Heroes and you
say
do...
Beowulf Age of Heroes.
Right, it's Beowulf Age of Heroes.
Ski-ba-ba-da-ba-boom.
Excellent. Okay, boom. I'm seeing some stuff here. Actually, that little bass slide... did you know that the bass solo in Call Me Al...
Right, Paul Simon song.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Only exists because it was the bass player's birthday when they were recording that song. He was like, look, it's my birthday. Can I slappity bebop this bad boy out?
I didn't know that. I'll give you another bass fact. The beginning of Seinfeld, they're all different. Only one guy just would go in there on a Tuesday night and just... They're all slightly different. He's the only one that can tell them apart.
Didn't know that.
Mm.
Could you imagine if that's your job? What do you do? I'm just the slap bass guy for Seinfeld. Just that's it. Do you know what I mean? Go to a wedding, everybody's... You know.
What do you do? Sorry. I'm in commodities. Yeah, I'm in a sort of commodity. Somebody said bass? No?
Yeah.
No. Because
I bass.
Yeah, Seinfeld.
We got off on a tangent there. Mm-hmm. Let's bring that back to what we're doing. So, Beowulf Age of Heroes.
Doom-a-da-boom.
Thank you. what this is, yeah, is a duet-based RPG. So what that means is one GM, one player, and we figured what better way to take all the content that we did, mm-hmm. where, you know, we took Sam from a relatively new player to somebody who is...
a passable DM and a fine player.
Perfect. Couldn't have said it better myself. Rude. And we can now put that into practice, right? Mm-hmm. We can sit here and we can have a game. I'll be GMing. Sam will be our player.
Yep.
And it's set up in such a way that allows us to tell a story using 5th edition rules, just us two.
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect for what we've done and what we're looking at. So let's get into it. Let's tell you guys, as our listeners, what that setting looks like, right? Because yep. I wouldn't say this is your typical D&D setting.
No, because like D&D is medieval. Castles and holds and keeps and cities.
Yeah.
And the magic is a lot more obvious. We'll get onto that in a minute. But this is pre-medieval.
Yes. So
territories and thanes and mead halls.
So it's based on the old poem, the text, which I think is like 1050.
Mm-hmm.
So very, very old. Yeah. And we're talking that kind of ancient
earthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like civilization hasn't been created properly yet. Mm. It's just small tribes who have figured out, you know, how to do some sort of agriculture.
It's almost like, yeah, exactly. It's almost like the cusp of the first agricultural revolution.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what it reminds me of? Have you seen Northman or Northmen? North?
No.
It's
the Viking thing, though,
yes,
right? Yeah, but
yeah.
It's kind of like misty Viking, mystical Vikings.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And actually, there's quite a good section in terms of... We've said that it's not high magic, and in terms of, like, it's not wizards everywhere, but there is magical in this environment.
But it's like... Did you see Green Knight with Dev Patel?
Yes, I have seen it.
Right, it's fucking great. And it's more like the sort of... I think it was a Philip K. Dick quote that was like, when technology becomes so advanced it will become indistinguishable from magic, whereas you drag that back to like 9 AD or something, or whenever,
yeah,
and it's like, oh, maybe they're seeing just scientific things but they don't understand it, so they assume it's magic and we're seeing it through their eyes. They're a bit of an unreliable narrator.
Yes,
that
that's
kind of magic, where it's more like, oh, it's a part of the journey, it's a guiding earthy occurrence rather than a common phenomenon.
Yes, yeah, that's a good point, because I don't think we've really established that, but this is kind of set in our reality, not necessarily an alternate history, but a
alternate telling of history.
Yeah, to a degree. So it's set in Northern Europe, right? We're talking England, Ireland, the Nordics,
Germanics.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That sort of Northern Western Europe.
Yeah.
And
there are
with
Slavic
that.
Elements in it, though.
Yeah.
There are Slavic elements in the setting.
Especially with a lot of some of the monsters and things that are involved in
too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that entire kind of band is referred to as the Whale Road,
mm-hmm.
which comes out of the poem. It's part of that. Because, and that's where, you know, that's where this is taking place, right? It's mystical. I wouldn't say it's magical, it's mystical.
Yeah, that's more
it, right?
Yeah.
I don't even know where that the idea of difference between the two comes from.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to extrapolate that out without knowing the real reason why mystical is mystical, so I'm going to make this up. And
mystical
it's work.
Is like law.
But slightly...
Like the laws of nature.
Slightly covered law, you know what I mean?
Because
misty.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, can't see through it. That's where
whereas magical is like, magical is the act.
Yeah.
The act thereof of sorcery.
Exactly. So you're looking at this kind of like Anglo-Saxon, Viking-y, mm-hmm. Danish kind of melting pot of cultures.
It's really... Oh, God, my voice went then. Mm. It's really rich.
Yes.
If you're someone that likes... And this is what we should say for the setting to get us right into it for a second. The setting is the setting. You can pour whatever kind of homebrew stuff you want into mm-hmm. it if you know enough of the lore, or even if you don't. The setting will inform how it feels, and it's rich enough and throws up enough other elements that you only need one player, because your subtext and the other moving parts that affect the world, where there would be other players, they're not, because they don't need it, because the mechanics of the setting push it forward.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. So let's see how that kind of translates. So let's talk about the landscape itself.
Yes.
We're talking about an environment where there's not a civilization. People haven't banded together yet
it's
to do...
harsh.
Yeah, exactly. They haven't banded together and gone like, let's make a road. Let's build a wall.
Mm-hmm.
Let's till a field properly.
Yeah.
So it's thick forests, pines, old wood, like you know how obviously in our world wars we cut down just piss ton of trees mm-hmm. because we needed all the wood to make fires and all that mm-hmm. sort of stuff, and they've been replaced with quick growing, so it's just pines and everything.
Yeah.
Just take out all of those pine forests and then just make them oaks, make them beech, like really thick, rich
Arthurian.
Yeah, twisting
mm-hmm.
and like valleys that are just covered in like fog that you can't see through.
Yeah.
Exploring, like even travelling sort of 3 miles, which like we can do in like an hour now because we've mm-hmm. got roads and easy ways to is a
mission.
Yeah, you have to think about it, you have to worry about things. You can't go wading through that fen because there's snakes, there's things that
monsters.
Yeah, if you get cut, like
wolves are a thing.
Wolves are still a thing. Bears still exist.
I mean, bears still exist.
No, yes, that's true. But what I mean is, that is a good point. To be fair, I'm just talking about the UK here. I don't know. Do we still have bears in the Nordics? Probably.
Probably,
right?
Yeah. Polar bears, if you go far enough north.
If you do go far, yeah. You've seen that there's... this is another tangent, but there's a poor brown grizzly who is... he suffers from... he basically doesn't have the pigmentation that turns his fur brown.
He can't hide.
So he's white.
Oh.
And people keep finding him.
Yeah.
And going like, oh no, this polar bear is so far from home. Let's move him back. And so he keeps getting tranked.
Oh,
and
no.
And then waking up on an ice float like, oh, oh no, what again?
It's happened again.
It's poor bear.
Oh man.
Yeah. So carrying on. So that's our landscape. So the only... real bastions almost of civilizations typically are these mead halls, right? Mm. Because, and this is for D&D, just mind-blowing.
There are no taverns.
No taverns.
No inns.
No inns. So you cannot meet in a tavern.
No.
And you're talking, so mead halls themselves, they are this... yes, they're a physical building, but they are also kind of like a metaphysical, this is safety.
Culture.
Yeah. This is safety. This
is where
culture
exists.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Safe enough for it to do so.
And it shows how disjointed everything is in that typically a mead hall will have somebody that rules that area.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Thane,
like
a regional
king,
leader, yeah.
A queen.
Yeah.
So like there's no power differentiation between the sexes either, because if you think about it, this is before we've had that.
And all the gods are kind of equal, men
exactly,
and women.
Exactly, exactly. We haven't had that Romany influence where they've sort of gone like, blokes can only do
Why
this
Why don't
sort
you
of
go
stuff.
Into that with the gods? Just expand on that
yes,
for a moment.
Yes, kings, queens. I'll tell you what, I've got that, but let me get through this piece because that helps us set out how that works. So you've got these leaders who, you know, will probably be trying to spread their influence. But the thing is there's so few people, the amount of people that they actually influence themselves, you're talking about like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
It's not like huge swathes of hundreds of people.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have subsects of communities or anything like that. There's no underground resistance or something on those lines because it's difficult to survive.
Yeah.
But what that does mean is it means that those people with skills are raised up. So, yes, you've got kings and queens, but you've got things called scops. Which are like storytellers.
Oh, cool. Okay, like bards.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And the reason why they're important is because that's how people get their news.
TV.
It is. TV, entertainment, and smiths who are obviously taking stuff out of the ground and making things. Mm-hmm. They are treated...
all stuff ripe for legend.
Exactly. And they're treated in the same way. Almost... I wouldn't be surprised if you have a leader being one or two of these...
Yeah.
Having these skills
mm-hmm.
because that's the reason why people have stuck around.
Great man of battle or trade.
Exactly. But what that means is your legend, yourself, your own story, because scops are typically the only way that news travels,
mm-hmm.
the laws of like loyalty and hospitality, that sort of like come into my hall, you will be treated well if you treat us well.
Ye old TripAdvisor.
Yeah. That's kind of what it is. So if you go to a place and you're a dick, people will
find out.
People will find out because the scops will talk, and your reputation and your honor it just means that much more.
Yeah.
Saying, yes, I'm going to go and sort out that wolf that keeps nicking a sheep.
Yeah.
And not doing it impacts how you will play the game as a player. Loyalty, hospitality, and because there are no inns, and it's not a transactional piece, it's going like, come on in, eat my food.
Yeah.
Once you've eaten my food, you're safe.
A story or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, and the other elements that you've got, if you have, and this is a historical piece. Do you know about Wehrgild? Wehrgeld?
No.
It's basically like if you say somebody wronged you, say somebody wronged you, I don't know, stole your cow or
that works.
Yeah, stole. That's it. Fine. Somebody stole your cow, and in revenge, you killed their
wife.
Sure, it's quite an extreme response. Well, probably don't do that.
Cow.
The person who you would take basically this squabble, you go, he stole my cow, I killed his wife. Whoever's the leader at that point will go, okay, you owe this person money, silver, to pay off your debt, right?
Okay.
So the cow might be worth 30 silver, the death of the wife might be sort of 200 silver, so you need to pay 170.
I didn't think he was always out in there.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And that's the way that they kind of keep honor and don't, because there's so few people.
Of course.
You can't just keep going around just revenging on revenge revenge.
Because otherwise, just simply not the manpower.
Exactly. Yeah. 100%. As soon as you take two people out of a community of seven, you're losing so much skill and hands. Now, that brings us on to our gods and faith, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's where...
You gotta have faith. Faith.
You do. It's that... What faith are you? Oh, probably the George Michael one still. That's the best one. So, you've got another dichotomy that's happening around in this point, which is the old gods and the old ways...
Yeah.
Which are these sort of traditional...
gods of bounty, gods of fertility, goddesses of the seasons and harvest.
Honour and all this sort of thing. That's very much the old ways. Now, Beowulf as a text and as a poem has the Christian god in it.
Yeah.
Which means that there is representation of that within the game, right? However, and usually, typically, we've seen like a lot of... historically, we've seen a lot of... crap go on because people have gone like, you should have this religion or this religion. That's not a problem. It's pervasive, as in there are people probably of both faiths in most communities.
But it's not a thing.
Yeah. It's not going, probably because of the same reason, because you can't have that much conflict going on, because if it happens, it's
and
like...
there's no one telling you that it's a problem.
Exactly. And also, at that point, the Bible hasn't been written. It's still verbal. It's still story-based. So it's quite likely that you're going to see amalgamations of both stories as one. So, you know, Jesus on the cross, and you can talk about how Odin sacrifices himself to himself, kind of thing. Because obviously, Jesus...
Why is Easter a Christian holiday? They worship symbols of fertility.
Yeah, exactly.
New chicks and eggs and bunny rabbits and stuff.
Yeah. You've got a piece where you've got the old gods, you've got, which are typically sort of all the Viking-y ones, so Thor and Freya and, you know, Odin. Who all eventually become our days of the weeks. I'm sure I've talked about that before.
Thor's day, Wednesday, yeah.
And the way that's represented mechanically is quite interesting. Because whenever you roll with advantage... and it's the way that your character wants to respond to that, whether he wishes to respond to, or she, whether wishes to respond to a situation as the old way might be it, or the new Christian way, you choose your dice. So you assign, before you roll your advantage, you go, this one here, my blue one is my old ways, and my green one is my Christian god.
Yes.
And you can roll it, and you say, I'm going to respond to this like a like I would in the Christian God's way. And if you choose that dice, even if it's the lower one, you gain inspiration.
Right.
So this works in quite a lot of ways, because the class, and there's only one class in
the hero.
Beowulf, which is just the hero, which we'll get onto after we go through one other thing, is so set up to have inspiration and to want inspiration when playing the game.
Yeah.
Okay? So, yes, you could take a temporary setback, potentially, to gain a positive one further on when you need it to all kick off. Which then brings us on to sort of the other big mechanical hit that we have, which is someone's weird.
Right, they're calling.
Yeah.
Their journey.
Yeah, W-Y-R-D.
Yeah.
Again, it could be represented either in the Christian God way or in the old ways. So, you know how you've got like the weird sisters, fates, and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's very much old world. We're going to sit around.
Atheist fog, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to chuck some stuff in, Eye of Newt and all those things.
Ribbon tossing.
Yeah. And then you've got the will of God, right? So your weird is like your calling, your doom, your destiny, almost. And that's created through a mechanic that you do when you do your character generation. So before each adventure, you basically you've got a table. And your weird is like a snippet of a poem that you know. So it's taking the poem element that we have of Beowulf and chucking it into...
Making it your own.
Yeah.
And it also, this is like an example of the mechanics of the setting informing the world and informing the story. Because if it's like, beware the blue flower on the hilltops by the mountains, and lo and behold, you find yourself on the hilltop by the mountains, you would have maybe just picked them or not picked them or walked through entirely... But it's like, oh, okay, this is going to inform how I react to the setting, mechanically speaking.
Yeah. And what that does is, it doesn't necessarily... Well, it depends on your GM, because what you can do is you can roll your weird, and your GM could just straight up choose to use that to create their story. Or you roll your weird, and your GM will still tell their story, but you'll always have this sort of like... knowledge, this pre-existing
knowledge. You'll be looking out for
exactly
it.
For your weird, for your chosen thing. And it should be said that those that heroes, those hero classes already know that they're special. They know you know in yourself that you are a hero
something
of the realm.
Inside, there's, so strong.
Exactly. So you're compelled almost just naturally to go out. You know, there's no sort of would my character do this. It's like no. I know.
That's why you're here. It's the James Bond thing, isn't it? Why do they keep making James Bond plots more convoluted to have him go and do cool stuff? It's his job.
Yeah.
Right? He's a spy. Oh, maybe he's his brother. Yeah, or maybe he doesn't get paid if he doesn't go to fucking Egypt. Christ. Every time.
Exactly. So you don't... There's no issue around why am I doing this. You're doing this because you are a hero. Because that's LinkedIn. And that's...
That's your weird.
Yeah, that's your weird... And your hero is your class. So, obviously in normal D&D, I mean, how many...
Many a class.
Many a class. Wizards, sorcerers, all that kind of thing. And you take your big spellcasters out of it anyway, because...
Magic is not really a thing.
Yeah, you can't sit there and be like, anti-gravity pylon, you know, that ridiculous... if you imagine that kind of influence within the world that we're describing, it would just be too big.
Yeah.
So, strip all that back. And what that gives us is it gives us one class, which is called a hero, and about six different subclasses on how they approach these...
Which are way more story-based anyway.
Yes, very much so. And you'd think, okay, fine, if it's just a... Excuse me. One more. There we go. Yeah, exactly. Way more story-based. So... These six elements are different enough in the way that they approach problems.
Flavor.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got these ones. You've got ones who are that sort of like scops and scalds and storytellers who will deal with problems through knowledge and finding things out. You've got your direct bruisers that get involved and you know, they'll physically...
They're calling his battle.
Yeah, exactly. And then you've also got those sort of others who are around helping people and being a leadership kind of environment. Because this is a duet-based game, there's a large point, a mechanical element in here, which is about your followers,
your renown.
Yes, your renown, your honor, how positive you've been. A Skald or a Skop might leave the village that you've just done something positive in.
Yeah.
Go to the next one, and somebody's sitting there going, that person sounds baller. Yeah. I want to go and get involved with him.
Yeah.
And then you're walking down road.
One of the backstories is that you were once one of those people that heard of a hero, followed a hero, learned how to hear, and then went to do it yourself.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So the idea of followers becomes much more ingrained. When I say followers, it's not like you're sitting there going like, Pokemon, go!
Yeah.
It's
like, oh, are you good at sailing? Because...
Yeah,
sailors. Can you fix my, can you smith my sword? Fix my tunic.
Exactly.
Tune my sword.
Tune my sword. Bing, ding, 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 ding.
It's the G-string.
Yeah, it always is. It's always a bit sharp.
Okay.
No
one needs to hear this story.
Well, I do. I want to talk about it now. So, sharp. My Telecaster on my G-string. It's slightly sharp up at the near the neck, and it really winds me up. I wanted to get that out there.
Of all the hardships in the world, Ed, that might be the most...
Tell me about
utterly
it.
...utterly fucking mundane.
Oh, truly, it's the bane of my life. Anyway, look, this is Age of Heroes, this is Beowulf, based upon the poem, duet, me and Sam, we're going to play it, we're going to run through it. Hopefully this has been like enough of a taster that you're going to go, yeah, all right, let's find out more about this.
We're going to do some more shows explaining a few more elements in depth.
Exactly.
We're going to build a character.
We're going to build Sam's character, so with like a whole episode of Sam's character box.
Fantastical Sam's character box.
Exactly. And talk about the mechanics and how that's all linked in. Because mechanically, I'm not sure if I've said it so far, but all of the... flavor that we're talking about here is so well represented in mechanics.
Yeah,
it's like the wizard and the portent dice, right?
And you think it would be overbearing,
it's
not. It runs really well.
If you've played 5th edition before,
you're down.
Yeah, you'll be able to pick these up. It's so secondary to it, and because you don't have a full crew that you've got to look after, as a GM, it's not a problem.
Yeah,
because you're taking away these four or five other players that you have to think about at the table, and instead you're going, right, everything's concentrated. So this one player, I can tell the story just from their point of view. I know their skills and I can adapt to that. And also, I've got these few more rules, but because they're so linked into the storytelling, it works so well. Perfect. All right, look, I think we've come to a good position to end the show.
Love it.
Sam, we're back!
We're back.
It's been some time, but bloody hell.
And it's so nice to have all of you back as well.
That it is. Hopefully, they are listening. We'll find out, won't we, I suppose.
That sounded invasive.
It did. Always watching, always listening. Excellent. Thank you so much for listening. We've been still starter set.
Yep.
We will see you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.